10 years ago today, the Supreme Court's ruling in Obergefell v. Hodges made same-sex marriage legal nationwide. In today's Q&A, Jim Obergefell explains why that mattered so much to him and his late husband. Marriage, and the lawful recognition of marriage, has such an impact on so many parts of our lives. But honestly, for John and me, it was all about dignity, he told the Monitor. Since the 2015 ruling, American public support for lawful recognition of same-sex marriage has increased from 60% to 68%. But Republican support has dropped over the past few years. Earlier this month, Southern Baptist joined those pushing to overturn Obergefell, passing a resolution stating that law is not meant to create moral truth, but to recognize and uphold it, and urging lawmakers to honor the truth of creation. The two sides may be far apart, but that need not be cause for enmity. Respecting those with opposite viewpoints dignifies democracy and journalism. It's Thursday, June 26th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Brent. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. The U.S. president met with Ukraine's leader. President Donald Trump suggested that a commitment by NATO members to spend more on defense could help prevent future Russian aggression against its neighbors. He made the comment during a news conference Wednesday after meeting with Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky on the sidelines of the NATO summit in the Netherlands. It was their first face-to-face session since April. Mr. Zelensky, in a social media post, called the talks substantive. President Trump also said U.S. and Iranian officials will talk next week. The ceasefire between Israel and Iran appears to be holding, raising cautious hope for longer-term peace, even as Tehran said Wednesday it will not give up its nuclear program. Iran has not acknowledged any talks. An Iranian official questioned whether the United States could be trusted after its attack last weekend on Iranian nuclear sites. Questions remain about the extent of the damage to Iran's nuclear program. Also, youth-led protests grew across Kenya. Thousands of demonstrators gathered in Nairobi and other cities, and at least 8 people were killed in Wednesday's demonstrations against police brutality and poor governance. The protests coincided with the anniversary of last year's protests opposing tax hikes. Kenya's youth, facing high unemployment and rising costs, demand reforms. The government has warned against violence and restricted live media coverage of the protests. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. In his second term, and in particular over the past 2 weeks, President Donald Trump has unleashed on friend and foe alike a diplomatic style that jettisons all the norms of traditional diplomacy, dialogue, bargaining, trust building, and patience, in favor of commands, threats, and shows of force. It's diplomacy by tweet and by fiat, says Charles Kupchan at the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington. Howard LaFranchi reports from The Hague, Netherlands, for The Monitor. 10 years ago on Thursday, the landmark Supreme Court decision, Obergefell v. Hodges, made same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. Jim Obergefell says the fight was about protecting the dignity and equality of people like him and his late husband. We had to do all of these things that millions of other people never had to think about or consider, says Mr. Obergefell, sharing the difficulty of getting care for his husband, diagnosed with a terminal illness, and learning he would not be listed as a surviving spouse. I wanted that right to call myself his widower and have it mean exactly what it means to anyone else. Cameron Pugh reports for The Monitor. A constellation of conservative groups is laying the groundwork to overturn the 2015 landmark Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. They argue that the social and legal pressure to accept such marriages undermines religious liberty and the traditional family, and that states should regulate such unions, just as they now do for abortion. Though it's a long shot, they see a new opening and an urgent imperative. If we are serious about preserving the legacy of Western civilization, then restoring foundational institutions like marriage is essential, says Michigan lawmaker Josh Shriver, who this year introduced one of a number of Republican resolutions against the ruling. Simon Montlake reports for The Monitor. Our Tel Aviv correspondent, visiting relatives who sought refuge from the Holocaust in New Zealand, finds herself separated from her children in Israel as the country traded missiles with Iran. She was wandering through a museum exhibit on the history of immigration to New Zealand when she heard a mother explaining to her daughter what a refugee was. Someone who is not safe where they live, so they have to leave their home. I wanted to compliment the mother on her answer, writes Dina, but instead I quickly walked away and found a quiet spot to cry. Dina Kraft reports from Wellington, New Zealand, for The Monitor. F1 is different from other car racing films. Its big screen technology supercharges the experience. Co-produced by the team that brought you Top Gun Maverick, it is just as edge-of-the-seat immersive. F1 also shares some of the storyline. Over-the-hill bad boy warrior seeks redemption while battling a cocky younger rival. Thrill by thrill, this film is tooled to capture our attention in the way that a video game does. After a while, there's really not much lyricism in all that whizzing around. What holds it together, our reviewer writes, is Brad Pitt. He's that relative rarity, a great big movie star who can also really act. Peter Rayner writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on a clean shelter from Russian storms. Russia's government-run news agencies have lately taken an interest in Moldova, a tiny democratic country next to Ukraine. On Tuesday, for example, an outlet of Sputnik News criticized the appointment of a new head prosecutor to fight corruption in Moldova, a former Soviet state well on its way to joining the European Union. Perhaps one reason for this scrutiny, a new EU-funded report on progress toward honest governance in Europe finds Moldova to be a surprise performer on measures like transparency and judicial independence. The country of some 3 million people now even outshines a few EU member states, such as Greece and Romania, in fighting corruption. For Moscow, a cleaner Moldova would mean less opportunity to influence its politics with illicit money and knock back Moldova's prospects of EU membership. In an election last October, the equivalent of at least $15 million was transferred from Russia into the accounts of some 130,000 Moldovan citizens to influence their vote, according to Moldovan police. Hundreds of people have so far been fined for taking such payments. With parliamentary elections set for September 28th, Moldova is not only hastening its anti-corruption reforms, but also receiving massive assistance from the EU as well as from NATO. On July 4th, President Maia Sandu will hold an unusual summit with top EU leaders to deepen ties with a bloc of 27 nations. Moldova has demonstrated remarkable determination to pursue reforms and align with EU values, despite facing major challenges and external pressures by the Kremlin and its proxies, reported Sven Mikser, the EU rapporteur on Moldova. For his part, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warned European leaders of Moldova's importance on June 11th. For 3 decades now, Russia has tried to keep Moldova in poverty and instability, to bring it fully under its control. If Europe loses in Moldova this year, Russia will feel emboldened to interfere even more, taking from you your resources, sovereignty, even history. Ms. Sandu, who was elected in 2020 on an anti-corruption platform, acknowledges the difficulty of fighting off Russian meddling. We do learn every day by new attempts and new ways through which Russia tries to interfere with our internal political processes, democratic processes, Ms. Sandu said. It is going to be tough, but we do want Moldovans to decide for Moldova at the parliamentary elections, not the Kremlin. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we can always turn to the timeless Christ for inspiration and healing, even when faced with obstacles. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Jeff Turton, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.